Would you consider yourself a vigilant Christian? As a young seminarian, I learned so much from Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. I never heard anyone at that time talk so gloriously about Christ and explain the priesthood so simply as union with Him, a discipleship of Him in order to become like Him. For Sheen, everything was centered on Christ. If there was no Christ within the framework of anything, it wasn't worth it. So I grew up with an essentially Christocentric theology. A theology centered on Christ and invariably centered on His mother. I have always approached reality, life, and experience from that perspective or through that prism. The only way to be vigilant is to draw close to Christ as possible. For Christ is the absolute truth. Everything else must relate to Him, be on His side or against Him. So vigilance in terms of the Christian faith is paying attention to the central teachings of Christ about redemption and salvation and about heaven, about truth, about goodness, and about beauty. We live in times when there is so much confusion. It seems to me that the first commandment today is not to offend anyone. It is not to offend Christ or His teaching. It's to tolerate every conceivable thing around and to put up with everybody else so they like you. That attitude is not Christian. That attitude is not Christocentric. It has gotten us to where we are today. What has happened very subtly is that we have shifted the center away from Christ to man. And that is the reason for the confusion. That is why many people don't seem to know what is true. It is either as though common sense has been systematically destroyed and Christianity has been messed with. Now what do we have? It is very strange in our country that if you're considered a very serious Christian, people will hate you. No one would look at your credentials. No one would even look at your qualification. Everybody can decide that you're not good because you're too strict. How did we get to that point? How come even today within the church there is also that problem of tension, which seems to be difficult to resolve? What is really true? What should we believe? How come some priests are confused themselves? So what is the problem? There must be a shift from Christ. And Jesus says, be vigilant, be vigilant. That's what He says in the gospel. And this is to all of us, right across the board, everyone. Those to be really more vigilant and attentive ought to be priests and bishops. Because we've been appointed as sentinels to stand in the gap for the people and warn them about impending danger or whatever is coming. It seems to me we have become comfortable, very, very comfortable, that the edge of our ministry is dulled. It reminds me of the image of Peter warming himself by the fire when Jesus was being questioned in the house of Annas and Caiaphas. And that is why he got into trouble. Comfort. Do you know that man who is being tried from Galilee? You talk like him. What did the first pope say? I do not know the man. And that is when trouble begins. When we do not remember the ideal. When we forget about what matters to Christ. Introduce Christ into our country today. What would Jesus keep? What would Jesus throw away? Do you know? That is how to think today, my friends. For Paul tells us in the first reading that Jesus is the uniting factor in himself of everything. So when there is division, we need to look for where it is coming from. Especially when brother is turned against brother, when we no longer understand what binds us together, when people begin to suggest all kinds of things. We need to go back to the basics. We need to go back to the roots. We need to ask ourselves the question, what is really at stake here? It has never been this confusing in our country in a long time. So you need to know that things are coming to a head. The question is, are you vigilant? Are you looking out for the right things? Are you putting everything within the prism of Christ so you can sift, so you can choose, so you can decide? So you're not in the wrong camp. Do you ask yourself that question? That's why God gave you a mind. That is why He made you in His image. Imagine Paul writing to the Ephesians. This is a beautiful text. You were at that time without Christ. He's addressing the Ephesians, who were obviously in the past pagans, not Christians, alienated from the community of Israel. They had no circumcision, and strangers to the covenants, first covenant, even the new covenant in Christ, without hope and without God in the world. Your situation was really terrible, he tells them. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have become near by His blood. Beautiful. Shouldn't we be talking about the precious blood of Christ much more today to heal our country, to unite us again? How come in all the confusion there is no emphasis on Christ? I am thankful to those pastors, Protestant pastors, who organize prayers in Washington, D.C. I am ashamed of the fact that as Catholics we've almost done nothing. There is no call to prayer. There is no invocation of the precious blood that brings everybody who is alienated together. Why? For He is our peace. Yes, everything must center on Christ. He made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through His flesh as He hung upon the cross, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims. It was not about the law. It was about grace in Christ, that He might create in Himself one new person in place of two. And that is what our nation craves for today. But who will do it? We feel like so many nations in one. Something is essentially wrong. Something has driven a knife into the things that held us together. And we are falling apart. And we must cry to Christ. Only Christ can heal us from inside. Thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. His message was for everyone. All mankind was implicated in the mystery of the incarnation, God becoming man in Christ. Through Him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. The Holy Spirit was given to everyone. You can see on the day of Pentecost, the apostles were preaching different languages, or perhaps everyone was able to understand whatever they said in Hebrew, in their own language. Everybody knew there was something strange in the air. The whole world was united, and everyone heard the gospel preached. I think we need a new Pentecost. Nothing more, nothing less. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones. Imagine what joy that message brought to the Ephesians. You're no longer strangers. We form one body in Christ and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the capstone. Now this is a perfect image of the church. It doesn't feel that way today, but this is the paradigm, this is the ideal. Christ is at the very center. What the church needs to do today is to turn to Christ. We need to find Him. He needs to talk to us. What is the way forward? But who is sincerely asking him. We're subjecting everything to our whims and caprices and fancies. We are not asking Christ for the way. Don't we remember that Christ is the way through anything? We're members of the household of God. We just stop right there. We form one family in Christ. He is the capstone or the cornerstone. If the house is in trouble, we all need to assemble around the center or the capstone, praying and fasting and asking for help. I don't seem to see the anxiety that the hour calls for in the church today. I don't sense any apprehension. When we watch the news, we are apprehensive. But as a church, we seem to be more worried about COVID-19 than the destiny of this country. Isn't that a shame? Through him, the whole structure is held together. So if the church is shaking, something is fighting Christ. That is what we need to figure out. And grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. We need to recover that spiritual center, my brothers and sisters. Perhaps that is my message tonight. It is the spiritual center, which is Christ and the Holy Spirit, that will help us unite as a people, even as a church. So find Christ. Find the Holy Spirit, and you will not lose the way. Let us pray.